Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Welcome, welcome, my listeners, to another episode of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. And of course, I'm your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. Today, we have a remarkable guest who is joining us, hailing from Jersey City, New Jersey. He's someone who seamlessly transitioned from a prolific career in music and film to becoming a tech luminary. But before we get into what he has to share with us and my introducing him, let's take a moment to hear from our valued partners at the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Welcome back to the Entrepreneurial You. Again, we have an exciting episode lined up for you. It is going to be off the chain. I like when we, you know, if you're hip, you know that we use off the chain a lot, right? It's going to be off the chain. Today's guest leads Segwig as the founder and chief solutions architect, transforming it into a beacon of simplicity and efficiency for small businesses navigating the digital age. His story is a vibrant kaleidoscope of music, film, and technology, showcasing a man who continually innovates, inspires, and leaves an indelible mark on the world. We are so thrilled. I'm so thrilled to have Pete Romano with us today. Let's make Pete welcome. Welcome, welcome, Pete.
Hello. Hello, everybody out there. Henneka, thank you for such an amazing intro. And before we keep going, I want to take issue with this idea of seamlessly transitioning. Boy, I don't know, but seamless is not an adjective that I would choose for entrepreneurial journeys. Becoming an entrepreneur has probably been anything but seamless, as you've probably have, you know, heard from many of your guests.
Well, indeed, no, you're so right. There's nothing seamless about entrepreneurship at all. It always has its challenges and ups and downs. But before we even get more into that, Pete,
sure,
let's come with your, let's give you your icebreaker question. So if you could create a soundtrack for your life using only three songs, think about it now, what would they be and why?
Oh, man, I'm thinking... What came to mind first was Queen's "We Will Rock You." That would be a great one. Then what would be next? Going back to my roots, I always liked Kiss, and they had a great song called "Rock and Roll All Night." And so sometimes when you're in the right mood, you might want to pull that song out. But believe it or not, I'm actually a big fan of Rihanna, and so she comes to mind, and she has so many good inspirational songs. And so the song Umbrella comes to mind, which is just a great story of being under somebody's protection and having somebody always there for you in the background, looking over your shoulder to protect you. And so I don't know, just off the top of my head, that's what I can come up with.
Okay, not bad at all. So let's talk about that journey of yours from music and film to tech, right? That's kind of like two different ends of the spectrum. Let's talk about that. Let's start there.
Well, I get that a lot. And sometimes I think that, well, how did I get here? How did I end up developing a software platform when it was a software platform to help small businesses when my roots were really in playing the drums and playing in bands and being creative. And you could kind of trace baby steps from one to the next. But the point that I like making is really, it's about the creative process. And when you understand the process of being creative, it doesn't matter what it is that you're creating. Because the creative process, whether it's a jingle or a song or even just a drum part or a lyric, or if it's a piece of software or a business, that creative process is really the same no matter where you apply that. It's the idea that your first ideas and your second ideas, stop holding all of your ideas precious and be willing to take your square peg and try it in a round hole, or take this one idea and try it over here, or borrow this and apply it over there. And so I could draw a direct line from those kinds of skills and that kind of training in my creative endeavors early in my career to how I really think about business and how I apply skills to my clients now in software.
Mm-hmm. So it really is all about the process, and not necessarily, because as you said, whatever it is, whatever field it is, whatever genre, the process, that creative process is the same. Just tell me a little bit about what that creative process looks like for you.
In order to be creative, you need to be steeped in all sorts of content and ideas out there. And you need to be able to look at anything that you're seeing in front of you and recognize that it's only that way because somebody else decided it was that way, and that it could have easily been any other way. Like, for example, let's say your task was to compose a 1,000-word blog. An amateur creative person would probably compose that blog, they would spell check it, and then they would send that on to their boss to review or their client. But a professional creative recognizes that the 1,000 words that they just put on the paper can be arranged in maybe a billion different ways, and that this first version is just that, it's a version. And so what I tell my staff to do is when they have an assignment, do the assignment and then put it down. Don't turn it in. Come back the next day or 2 days later and apply fresh eyes to it and fresh ears to this project, a fresh mindset, because then you're going to realize that this whole idea can be so many other things, and that your first idea was not the end all be all. It's not precious. Nothing is precious. No idea is precious. In fact, ideas are not precious at all. They're really just the first step into executing something that's going to change the world.
Awesome. So Pete, I want to ask a question, a follow-up question to my first part. Like, so your background in the arts, how does that influence your approach to entrepreneurship and technology at Segwit?
I really think that entrepreneurs need to be creative thinkers. They need to, the job of the entrepreneur, people take that title on when they really don't really deserve it, because they don't really know what's really behind those words, the word entrepreneur. And no matter what business you're in, entrepreneur means the same thing. And to me, what it means is you're an inventor. And it's not that you're an inventor of the business that you're not an inventor of the product that your business sells. You're an inventor of the business itself. And that doesn't mean that you even founded the business. Like, it might be your name on all of the documents, but you're the inventor of the systems that power that business. And so no business can exist without the right set of systems. And it's the entrepreneur's job to invent all of the systems that are going to yield the highest output for the most profit. And so I urge all of our clients to think like that, to think like they're building their business out of maybe Lego blocks, maybe,
and that you need to connect every little step to every other step. And so for me, that's the only way I think about business, is as it's a series of systems that you as the entrepreneur need to invent yourself.
Interesting. Series of systems. And that tells a lot, because once you systemize, you know, you develop a system, whatever it is, if you're even when I had my clothing. So, for example, I have a system of, you know, responding to emails and how we deal with the shop and so on. And so I recognize it takes the guesswork out of, you know, what you need to be doing. So having a system in place, no matter what it is, and know that I'm doing other business, you know, the systems look a whole lot different. So whatever you're in, the system would look a lot different, you know, but it is important that we have that system in place. Let's talk about your software, Segwik. We want to know more about that. We want to know, you know, what it does and why should we be interested in it?
Well, so systems, right? We just mentioned systems. When you start to grow your business and you need to add more people, systems become exponentially more complicated for each new person that has to play a role in your process. In other words, it's like, I think of each person in a business almost like you're stacking wine bottles on top of each other. And not that you would want to do this, but if you did do this, you would quickly figure out that if you stack just two wine bottles, one on top of the other, more often than not, it's going to fall right over. And so for every process that you create in your business, you have to figure out what are the handoffs in these various steps. A has to lead to B, and B has to be connected to C. But then if something happens at C, maybe you skip D, or maybe you skip E, because your business rule is that you have to go to F. And that's what I do at Segwik with our clients, is that we call it the customer journey. And we try to get our clients to imagine what their perfect customer journey is. In other words, at any moment in time, if you're a restaurant, if you're an accountant, you have people that are early in the process, you have people that are midway through the process, and you have people that are at the end of the process. And that can create a lot of confusion when you need to extract yourself to work on your business instead of in your business. So we try to get our clients to clear their minds and to think about, well, what happens when just one customer moves through our processes perfectly? And we go, just like I said, what's the first thing that happens? What's the second thing that happens? What's the third thing that happens? And that's what Segwik helps with, is that it helps us figure out what those rules ought to be. And then it helps actually glue those rules together. So in other words, if your customer journey starts with a website, or it starts with a calendar booker, or it starts with a phone call, Segwik supports all of those. And then if it's the website and it goes to a form, well, Segwik powers the form. And then if you want a series of emails to trigger, then Segwik triggers those emails. And so it's a tool. Segwik is a tool that helps to stitch and power all of the technology that you need to handle the perfect customer journey, so that you don't need to string together all of these other tools. I mean, everybody out there listening, think about how many tools you already have in your business. You have your calendar booker, you have your website, you have your cell phone, you have your accounting, you have your email. All of those tools play major parts, critical parts in your customer journey. They play critical parts in helping your business grow. But when you have these tools all delivered from different providers on different platforms, it becomes a real hindrance to growth. And we centralize that. We replace those tools with a single point of truth. And that's what Segwik is.
Okay, that sounds very, very interesting, Pete. What I'd like you to do for us now, let's think about an entrepreneur who is a digital entrepreneur who is selling courses. Kind of, can you put an example of what that customer journey would be like for somebody who's doing that, just so the listeners get a practical sense of how it works?
So, for example, if you're selling a course, you need to market those courses. So you might do email blasts.
So our system handles the email blasts. You design and you send your emails. You're going to need your contacts, your leads, and you're going to need your previous customers, because you might want to send content to all of those different people. And so you're able to do that, load all of your contacts, store different attributes on them. But then you might want to register people for these courses. So you send them to a page on the internet. Well, you don't need to use Eventbrite or anything else, or WordPress. You could use SegWit to power that page. Now, when your course, you might need to charge for that course, or you might want to have a payment plan, or you might want to have a subscription. You know, everybody has different rules. Maybe they have access to this course for a year. Maybe it's a face-to-face course. And so all of those different rules come up when you want to check somebody out. So SegWit powers that, and it can handle nearly any kind of business rule. And then after that, well, you want to send people reminders, or maybe you have course materials that they want to download, that you want them to download, and that they only have access to these materials and not those materials. Well, SegWit can handle that in a secured portal. And so as you just sort of go through these steps and you really think about every single detail, most people don't take the time to break things down into these step-by-step digestible little moments. SegWit gives you the opportunity to figure out every little step that needs to happen in order to deliver this course perfectly, all the way up to after the course is done. Maybe you want to email people a recording, a transcript, follow-up notes, and everything in between.
Rather interesting. All right. So, it sounds really interesting. When we're talking about a software that's doing all of that, what kind of price points are we thinking about? Is it breaking the bank, an arm and a leg?
Yeah. It doesn't have to. We have packages that we're a company that's been developed for small business owners, and so for companies that need the Ferrari, we can accommodate the Ferrari. For mm-hmm. companies that need more of a bicycle, we can accommodate the bicycle. And so nobody should be afraid that coming onto our platform is going to break the bank. In fact, it's meant to pay for itself in time and efficiency. It doesn't become expense. It becomes really savings when you come on SegWit.
You know, it's interesting. Going back to your transitioning from one industry to the next. I mean, when you think about persons who are making a shift, they're in. You'd find that they move from tech to the arts, maybe because they want a little more. You know, it's more exciting, quote unquote exciting. But for you, you know, moving from the arts over to tech, and we understand that we talked about the fact that the strategy is the same. It's just something. It's a different genre. Fine, but somebody now who is listening, and they perhaps are in the same boat, or they're in the same boat that you were, and they want to make a transition, right? Because they think, okay, I've had enough of this. I want to do something differently. What would you say to somebody who's contemplating that shift from the arts, from music and film, into tech entrepreneurship?
Well, it's such a growing industry. Listen, we all have to make money, and we all have to feel good about the decisions that we make and the work that we engage in. And I would advise anybody that they really need to just follow their heart and follow their dreams. And my path, in fact, I probably would not recommend the exact same steps that I took, glossing over years of personal development and self-reflection. But I know many people that were, I know a chef. He was struggling as a chef. He went back to school for 9 months to get a programming degree. And out of programming school, he was making $90,000 at an entry-level job. And he was already 44 years old. And so there's lots of opportunity in technology these days. There's lots of opportunity in helping businesses deliver services. And so I would say that it's more about being in a service that is in demand,
And if you're making money at art and it's in demand, you've been able to generate demand, then that's great. But if you are like me and you had some early successes, but you felt that your calling was a little bit different, I think technology is great, and it's just getting faster and more interesting. The things that you can build with it, you can get very, very creative with technology. It's not dry and boring, in my opinion, but in fact, it's liberating. And so, but at the end of the day, follow your dreams, follow your passions.
All right. At the end of the day, follow your dreams, follow your passion, and it usually takes you to a great place, you know? Can't go wrong. Follow our hearts. Yes, our heart speaks. Okay, so I'm going to ask you now, Pete, to share your final piece of advice or anything you want to share based on the experience, based on your journey with our listeners, who can inspire them to get from point A to point B.
Well, if you're like me and you have to work for a living and you need to be in service of others, that's always what my MO was. Even as a young producer, I was always in service of somebody's vision. And so when you're servicing a vision, always be listening. Don't think that your ideas are precious, especially when it's in service of a client, because ultimately it's the client's decision, and you're there just to provide guidance and support and, you know, best practices. But don't fall in love with your ideas. In fact, liberate yourself from them, because there's another idea right around the corner. And go out there, listen to your clients, hear what they're saying, but also you got to be able to read between the lines, because most technical people in some sort of craft, whether it's creative or anything, there's a lot of jargon and there's a lot of industry kind of words, and we speak a sort of different language. And so your clients don't speak that language. So you have to take time to read between the lines and understand what it is that they're trying to communicate so that you could be best served, so you could best serve them. And yeah, if you do that, I think you're gonna be successful.
Like the way you've seen entrepreneurship and how you've been able to describe your transition from music and film into tech entrepreneurship, and that's pretty cool because you've really had some success, Pete, in the in those industries, right? And here you are now killing it over here as well. So thank you for coming and sharing.
Well, thank you for the kind words, and as my mother always says, from your mouth to God's ears, we'll all be successful.
Oh, absolutely. Another inspiring insights coming right here from Pete Romano. So grateful for you, Pete.
Thank you. Likewise.
Awesome. What an enlightening conversation that we've just had, right? Pete and myself, we've had, you've listened, you've gotten to this point of the podcast, which means that you've been listening. So thank you so much for tuning in. And we thank Pete Romano for sharing his insight into the intersection of art, technology, and entrepreneurship. And I invite you, my peak performers, to stay tuned for more inspiring stories on the Entrepreneur You podcast. So until next time, I am Henika Watkins-Porter signing off. And as we nurture our entrepreneurial spirit, remember, you can visit henikawatkinsporter.com for more exciting educational, motivational episodes just like this one. So go to henikawatkinsporter.com and you also find the show notes and links that are related to today's episode. Connect with me on social media. I'd love to hear from you. And finally, what I want to say to you is, you perhaps are thinking about starting a podcast, right? And you have not had a chance to do it yourself. You don't have the handhold. You want somebody to handhold you so that you can get going. Let me either produce your podcast for you or teach you how to do it. Yeah, I run podcast workshops pretty frequently, and I do one-on-one coaching as well. So give me a call, give me a shout. I am indeed a Jamaican podcast queen. And as you affirm with me today, my journey is unique and every challenge is an opportunity for growth. I will stay committed to my vision, embrace innovation, and strive for success. What good?